Please turn with me in the scripture to John 14. John 14, we're continuing our study of John's gospel at the 14th chapter, and this morning we'll read the first three verses. Hear the word of the living God. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back again and take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. This is the word of God. Beloved in the Lord, these are very familiar words, but I want to remind you of their context. They were spoken to the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ in that upper room. And there were a great number of things that had just occurred in the upper room that caused them to have troubled, deeply troubled, saddened hearts. You'll remember that in that upper room, Jesus had just finished telling them that one of them, that is one of the 12 that were with him, one of the companions that had gone with him on his earthly ministry, his intimate companion, would betray him. That would be disturbing. Then there was this warning that was given to Peter when Peter had said he loved the Lord, and Peter was told by Jesus, Peter, you're going to deny me three times before the cock crows. That occurred in the upper room. You could imagine the thoughts that might be running through the minds of the other disciples as they hear that this is what Peter was going to do. And then Jesus was talking about his impending death, how he was going to be led away and he would die, and he was going to leave his disciples. And so their hearts are troubled. They are deeply troubled, dismayed. And Jesus, knowing this, turns to them in this moment and says, stop. It's a command. It doesn't come out in the force of our English translation, but in its original Greek, it is a command. Stop letting your heart be troubled. It's put an end to it. Don't be troubled. And then the reason why. Believe in God. Believe also in me. And then he goes on and says, I am going to prepare a place for you. When he says believe in God, he first of all is reminding them to believe in the Almighty God and in his throne, which is over all. They were familiar with this God. They had heard about him through the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. They knew that God is indeed the Father who possesses infinite power and wisdom. They might have been reminded in these words or in the teaching of Jesus of the verse of Scripture which says, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. And he points them to believe in God in his unchanging faithfulness to his people. But then all of a sudden he says, believe also in me. And in that turn of words, and in those words, Jesus says, he is himself God. He identifies himself as equal with God Almighty. Christ is here declaring his absolute, unchanging deity. He, in fact, is Lord. And it is he, then, who is going to prepare a place for his people. And that's what I'd like you to think about with me as we look at this text, that Jesus is preparing a place for us. Not only for his disciples, but for us. We are his disciples, his followers as well. And he says it's a place in his Father's house. What kind of a place would that be? Well, Jesus describes it as a home. My Father's house is a reference to the dwelling place of God. It is the home of the Heavenly Father. While we may sing, I don't know if you remember that song. Do you know it? I'm a stranger here within a foreign land. It's an old hymn. My home is far away on a golden strand. The hymn writer sort of captures that mournful spirit by which the believer kind of recognizes that he's a temporary resident here. That's what Jesus is talking about. Your home is not here. I'm preparing a home for you. And notice he says, in it there are many rooms. I like the old translation. There are many mansions. Now, some of us don't live in mansions. I've been in a couple of mansions visiting. You look around and you go, wow. And you kind of say, I could be comfortable here. Have you ever been in a mansion? Have you taken a tour of some of those mansions? They're great places. I wouldn't want to have to be responsible for the upkeep, mind you, or the cleanup of my clutter. But mansions are pretty nice places. We don't all live in mansions. Some of us live in lesser than we would like at times. Maybe we don't have enough room. And really, Jesus isn't even talking about where we're living. He's talking about what we are. The mansion in heaven is our heavenly home where we are going to go. And he's preparing that for us because he says, you're not going to be living, you're not going to be dwelling here forever. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. There's plenty of room, plenty of mansions, not just like the tent that you're living in on this present pilgrimage. It's a permanent home. How many of you have moved from time to time? At least, you have to have moved at least once. And if you're like me, you've moved many more times. You move into a different home and it's all different. You get settled in. And if you're somewhat transient, like I have been in my life throughout my ministry, you're there for a number of years and you move again. Heaven is a permanent place, a permanent residence. Even if you've lived in your home for 50 or more years, that is not a permanent residence, because as I live and breathe, I guarantee you that you will leave this earth someday and you will enter your permanent residence, your permanent home in heaven, the place where God himself dwells and where he is worshiped for all eternity. Now, there's a promise in this text as well. Not only is he preparing a place, a mansion for you, and you can't even imagine what that will be like. You know, there will be so much room in that mansion. There will be so much freedom. There will be so much permanence that we will hardly, I think, be able to explore it. But what's better is the Lord Jesus is coming to take us home for that joyful reunion with the Lord. He says, I'm going to prepare a place for you, but if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Not a maybe, not I hope so, not a what if. I will come again. He is preparing a place. He's busy at work preparing a place to bring us to heaven, but he says he's coming back. And when he comes back, he says, I will come again and I will take you to be face to face with me. I like to translate it face to face with me, because that's exactly what the preposition in the original language in that text means. When he says, I will come and take you to be to myself, to be with me. To be with me means face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. Where he is going to take us to be with him. This passage, these words are intensely personal. The language that the Lord Jesus uses is personal because he wants it to be comforting. Can you imagine the disciples and their consternation, the betrayal, the impending death of their leader? They will be alone. What are we going to do? And all of a sudden, Jesus comes with these words of intense comfort. I will come back and you will be with me. He wanted them to find and to receive that comfort that would come through the knowledge that he would return for them, not merely just bringing them to heaven as though he were the bus driver dropping them off at the bus stop, but Jesus is going to take us to heaven into his very embrace because he loves us as his people. The people that are prepared for heaven will be the people that will go to be with Jesus, because Jesus says here he's coming back for his people. He loves his people, and he will not let one of them slip through his fingers. Every one of the people for whom Christ shed his blood at Calvary's cross will be embraced by him and brought home into heaven. And we will find when we get there that we are not unknown and that we have, or unexpected, but that we are welcome, and heaven will be our eternal abode. Now the disciples' hearts were troubled, and Jesus gives them this word of comfort, but he is also inviting them to trust in him. Remember, he began by saying, "Believe in God, believe also in me." Hearts that are troubled, saddened, burdened, need to be hearts that trust in Jesus. The disciples knew they couldn't follow their leader. They were somewhat confused and uncertain. The pain and the thought of Jesus leaving them was deep. But Jesus invites them to trust in him and to find their comfort in him and in his presence. The answer to our trouble is trust. Trust in Jesus. This is a call to faith in him. To the disciples, to us, to trust in the one who is one with God the Father. He is Lord. He performs the mighty deeds of God. Trust him because he is Lord. He has all power at his disposal. He would say just before he ascends into heaven to his disciples, "All power on heaven and earth is given to me." We can therefore trust in him because he is indeed Lord and God. And we can be comforted in knowing that the one who loves us is God. And he is God who knows what is best for us. He knows what is best for you in whatever it is that you are facing, even in this very moment, today, last week, what you went through, this coming week, what you may face. Know that God is your refuge and your strength and ever-present help in trouble. That God is on his throne and Jesus does indeed love his people. He knew the grief of his disciples. He knew their pains and sorrows. The scripture indeed says, in all their afflictions, he was afflicted. And so to those hurting hearts and to your hearts, he speaks this word of comfort. He speaks it even today. He was not just speaking to those disciples, but to you and to me. Believe in God. Let not your heart be troubled, is the encouragement that we constantly need. Let not your heart be troubled. Your heavenly Father knows with infinite wisdom, with great power and endless goodness, what is best for you. He is on his throne. He has not lost any of his power. And if God be for us, does the word of God not say, who then can be against us? God is God. Trust him. Trust that all of his dealings with you are marked and stamped with his covenanted mercy through Jesus Christ. A love that surrounds you and will not let you go. A faithfulness that even though you think you are alone, that he is always, always, always there. I know you, many of you probably know, maybe some of you even know it by heart, but the illustration of God's faithfulness is a familiar one in that great poem someone wrote called Footprints. Remember that one? Where it speaks of the person who is walking and he sees two sets of footprints, and then as he's going along in the sand, he only sees one, and he kind of turns to God and says, well, where were you? And God finally turns to him and says, well, you see, when it was the one set of footprints, that was when I was carrying you. It's a great poem. It speaks of that faithfulness of God. He never forsakes you. He will never forsake you. I would dare say on the basis of the word of God, it is impossible, it cannot be that God would forsake you or he would not be God. This God of faithfulness calls to you and says, trust in me. Put an end to your troubles by trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, the real end of your trouble is not here. It's there in heaven. That's our destiny. That's our home. Our home is not here. It's far away on that golden strand, as the hymn writer said. And that place is being prepared for you if you love and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll be received there, not just some unknown person, but one who is welcomed by the Son of God into the very presence of the Lord of glory. But I must ask you this morning, are you prepared for heaven? Do you know Jesus? Do you trust him? And have you received now that comfort and that inner peace of the hope of heaven that comes from knowing that you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ with all of that faith that he has given you? To have a place prepared in heaven, you must be prepared beforehand by salvation through Christ Jesus our Lord, who will go on in this passage later to say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Only Jesus prepares us for heaven. And the great promise in this passage is that he comforts us with the knowledge that he is preparing for us that eternal place, that eternal joy, that eternal presence is waiting us as we go through this life. Does that not bring comfort to our hearts in this very hour? As it certainly should have to those faithful disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ in that upper room. Jesus cleared it up for good, didn't he, with those words. He told the disciples they didn't need to be troubled. Here's the heart medicine, he says, that you need for your troubled hearts. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Believe in him, beloved, for to believe in him is to be saved. Amen.